Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to our daily scripture reflection, our time of prayer together. It is good to be with you. And as we join together across the nation and even around the world, let us know your prayer intentions. By the way, don't forget about prayerintentions.org. We always invite you to put your prayer intentions in the comments when we have these broadcasts. But at any time, whether we're broadcasting or not, and as much as you want, you can go to prayerintentions.org and let us know how we can pray for you or perhaps for relatives, friends, or other parishioners of yours. So we are going to share again today's readings. I want to share some exhortations based on those readings. But we'll begin with prayer. And as part of our prayer, I want to chant in Latin an ancient Lenten hymn, Parce Domine. Takes its root from Scripture. Spare, O Lord, your people. We hear this on Ash Wednesday, the reading from the prophet Joel. Spare, O Lord, your people. Do not be angry with them forever. And then the Psalm 51, have mercy on me, God, in your goodness, in your compassion, blot out my offense. I'll just do one verse of this, but it has a very, very Lenten feel to it. And those of you who are familiar with it know what I mean. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for the gift of faith, the gift of life, the opportunity for another day, not only to live that life, but to defend it, to proclaim, to celebrate, to serve the gospel of life. Thank you, Lord, for this Lenten season in which we are deepening our repentance every day, in which we are opening our ears more and more to your word every day, in which we are communing with you in prayer more deeply every day, in which we are responding to the needs of our neighbors, especially the most vulnerable, more and more every day. Spare, O Lord, your people. Do not be angry with us forever. Cleanse us of our sins. Parce Domine, parce populo tuo. Ne in eternum iras caris nobis. Miserere mei Deus, secundum magna misericordiam tuam. Parce Domine, parce populo tuo. Ne in eternum iras caris nobis. Lord, we renew our confidence in your mercy, and we ask that the blood of Christ cleanse us from all sin. That blood, one drop of which, can cleanse a billion worlds of sin. It was all shed for us. And Lord God, you would have done this if any one of us were the only person that needed to be saved. We rejoice, we recommit, we repent, and we thank you today through Christ our Lord. Amen. So another deep reading about repentance comes to us today from the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 14. Thus says the Lord, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. You have collapsed through your guilt. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all iniquity and receive what is good, that we may render as offerings the bullocks from our stalls. Assyria will not save us, nor shall we have horses to mount. We shall say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. For in you the orphan finds compassion. I will heal their defection, says the Lord. I will love them freely, for my wrath is turned away from them. I will be like the dew for Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall strike root like the Lebanon cedar and put forth his shoots. His splendor shall be like the olive tree and his fragrance like the Lebanon cedar. Again, they shall dwell in his shade and raise grain. They shall blossom like the vine, and his fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more has he to do with idols? I have humbled him, but I will prosper him. I am like a verdant cypress tree. Because of me, you bear fruit. Let him who is wise understand these things. Let him who is prudent know them. Straight are the paths of the Lord. In them the just walk, but sinners stumble in them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray the psalm, Psalm 81. I am the Lord your God, hear my voice. I am the Lord your God, hear my voice. An unfamiliar speech I hear. I relieved his shoulder of the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called, and I rescued you. I am the Lord your God, hear my voice. Unseen I answered you in thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, will you not hear me? I am the Lord your God, hear my voice. There shall be no strange god among you, nor shall you worship any alien god. I, the Lord, am your God, who led you forth from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God, hear my voice. If only my people would hear me, and Israel walk in my ways, I would feed them with the best of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would fill them. I am the Lord your God, hear my voice. Let's read this gospel passage from Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus replied, the first is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And no one dared to ask him any more questions. Well, these readings bring us right to the heart of repentance. They warn us against idolatry. Say no more our God to the work of our hands. Now, in the Old Testament, there are some very funny passages that mock idolatry, in as much as idolatry is, you know, making some kind of object and claiming that it's God. We think, of course, of the primary Old Testament example, the golden calf, right? And, you know, Moses is up on the mountain, Aaron loses control of the people, and then the lamest excuse in human history when Moses comes down and admonishes him for why are the people worshiping a golden calf, he says, well, I took the rings from them and threw them in the fire, and this calf came out. Say no more our God to the work of your hands. They were actually making an idol, and then we see in various passages of Scripture people saying, oh yes, you carve the wood carver, the carpenter does his work, and then from the scraps, the worthless pieces that remain, he fashions some kind of object imitating some beast or bird of the air and then fastens it to the wall lest it fall down because it cannot stay up on its own strength. And he says, this is your God. You know, and it mocks this whole idea because it's so ridiculous. You just made it out of garbage. It can't even hold itself up on the wall, and you're relying on it for safety when you go on a boat or protection as you live your life each day. It's so contrary to reason. Not only is it contrary to the explicit commands of God to avoid idolatry, it's contrary to reason. But brothers and sisters, the deep repentance we have in Lent is not simply about that, because I don't think any of us listening to this right now are doing that. Actually creating something out of wood or metal and thinking that it's divine. We know that we belong to a monotheistic religion, and this greatest commandment that Jesus talks to us about in the gospel says there is one God. The first of the Ten Commandments, right? I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods besides me. There's the essence of repentance and holiness. Well, we understand that. There is only one God, because there are other religions that are polytheistic. There are many different gods. Maybe they're in competition with each other. Maybe they're in competition for our attention and our worship. Maybe they have to be placated through things like human sacrifice. This is what the people of God who had entered into a covenant defined by this first and greatest commandment, I am your God, I alone am your God. By the way, scripture talks about God as a jealous God. What he means is he wants all our love. He doesn't want it going off to others. And scripture uses the imagery of adultery. It says God is marrying you. Don't commit adultery by worshiping other gods. Well, the people of God, having entered into this covenant based explicitly on those words, faced the challenge that when they received the Holy Land and they were brought in, the nations around them were worshiping other gods. And God warned them, I'm giving you this land, but don't imitate the practices of those other nations. And one of those practices involved in the worship of those other gods was child sacrifice, which is going on today with abortion. I am the Lord alone. Now, when he says, we shall say no more our God to the work of our hands, and this is an expression of repentance. The work of our hands is not just that golden calf or that idol hanging on the wall. Governments, political systems are the work of our hands. We don't worship them, we use them. If they go astray, like the Democrat Party has done, from any semblance of morality, we rebuke them. Open your mouths, pastors. Open your mouths, bishops. Stiffen your spines. We rebuke them because it's the work of our hands. Say no more our God to the work of your hands. We can build up a political party, a political system. Build it up like you build this shelving unit that's behind me. Use it for the purpose for which it's used, but don't consider it the object of your absolute loyalty. Say not our God to the work of our hands. The accomplishments that we succeed in accomplishing in life. The possessions that we build up. The power that we might collect for ourselves. The ladders that we might rise. In the church, in our business world, in politics, and social standing, the relationships that we form, these are all the work of our hands. Say not our God to the work of your hands, to your possessions or positions or power or reputation. Some people will sin rather than risk their reputation or their comfortable lifestyle. Say no more our God to your comfortable lifestyle. You might have built it up and there may not be anything wrong with it, but sometimes fidelity to God's word, sometimes things like the defense of the unborn from being dismembered by abortion requires us to get out of our comfort zone, do something a little bit uncomfortable, like go and pray in front of an abortion facility or even just express opposition to it, and we invite the wrath of others. Say not our God to the work of your hands. You've established a comfortable pattern of life, but break out of it. Be ready to break out of it. When the demands of justice or of service to others require it. And you know what else is the work of our hands? Our pride, our arrogance, our resentments, our preconceived notions of who somebody is or what they have done. Yeah, I've never been more impressed than since this getting kicked out of the priesthood happened. I've never been more impressed with people's ability to know things that they don't know the first thing about, to know things about meetings that they were never in, to know things about a journey that they never walked one step of, to know things about people that they've never sat down with and talked with. These arrogant, I've talked about this before, arrogant commentators, and most of them are in the Catholic world. Shame on these various news agencies, reporters, and bloggers. It's amazing. Their God is the work of their hands. Because they have to write something on that blog that day or submit something to their editor, they take on this position of being know-it-alls with absolutely no respect for other people. I'll be writing more about this and investigating more of the nonsense that's going on. By the way, there's a collaboration going on between certain agencies in the Vatican and certain agencies in the world of Catholic news. I'm putting them on notice. I know about it. I've got the evidence for it. And it's going to come out in a big way. Not before you find out personally about what the consequences are of this. But it's unethical. So say no more, our God, to the work of your hands. You know, people build up these alliances and these partnerships and whatnot. Look at these billionaires, Soros, and all the political alliances that they make. Look at these political alliances between the Democrat Party and certain church leaders. Say no more, our God, to the work of your hands. This is all the work of your hands. We're not just talking about an idol hanging on a wall. We're talking about things you have built up through your own initiative that now are pulling your loyalty away from the true God. Look how we have to love the Lord. With all your mind and heart and soul and strength. How often do we use all our strength? I mean, that's a unique moment, isn't it? That's a rare moment. Did you ever have to push something or pull something or lift something with all your strength? That doesn't happen every day. With all your mind, you know, research on the human brain says that we only use a very, very, very small percentage of our brains. What is it like to do something, to think something, to know something with all your mind? Wow, with all your heart. The human heart is capable of having quite a bit of love and fierce devotion. What do you love with all your heart? Because the heart is easily divided. What do you love with all your heart? Whom do you love with all your heart? Has to be the Lord above all, above any other loyalty. Only to him can we say, I will obey you no matter what. All other obedience is conditional. It's conditional, first of all, on being rational and on being moral and on being within the scope of the person who's giving the command. But obedience to God is absolute because he is truth itself and he is almighty. Love the Lord with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. This is what Lent is meant to help us accomplish. This is what repentance is meant to help us do. To integrate, in other words, all our thinking, all our desiring, all our loyalty, all our strength of soul, to be focused and integrated on God first, and then overflowing from that, love of neighbor. And you know, when the scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself, that's not just talking about degree. That's talking about an understanding of whom you're loving. In other words, love your neighbor, recognizing that he or she is a person like yourself. Because we tend to put people in lower categories. We tend to look down on them. Scripture says, humbly think of others as superior to yourselves. Don't put them in any boxes. And don't engage in snapshot thinking where because of one thing you read about someone or one experience you had with them or one thing you heard them say, all of a sudden you label them in a certain way, and it's a snapshot, and that's where they're stuck forever in your mind. Meanwhile, there's a lot more to their lives and a lot more to what they think, and they're growing and living and changing, and you've got them stuck in a box. No, love your neighbor as yourself. Understand that they are a person like you, that they have the same rights and dignity as you. This is where we have to love our unborn neighbor as ourselves, not thinking that there's some kind of subhuman creature, but a person like ourselves. And this is where we also find compassion for people who might not be doing the things we think they should be doing. Yeah, but they're a person like you. Don't you have things weighing you down, distracting you, or explanations for why you might get impatient or angry, the things that you're dealing with that other people don't see? Give other people the benefit of that doubt as well. Give them some space. Give them some slack. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this Lenten journey of ever deeper repentance, of ever deeper integration of our thoughts, our desires, our efforts. Lord, bringing it all together and focusing on you. We thank you, Lord God, for your truth and for your love. We can't love the way that you command us to. We need your Holy Spirit to love through us, to live in us, to speak through our speech. Bring us integration, Lord God, with you and with our best selves, that we may no longer be divided. Your prophet Hosea says that the gap, the wound, the breach will be healed. This is a division not only between us and you, O God, but between us and ourselves. Make us whole once again. Fully focused, not on any idol, not on any work of our hands, but on you, knowing that there we find our joy, our peace, and our salvation. We pray as Jesus taught us, gathering together all the intentions that have been expressed here today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pray to our Heavenly Mother, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Friends, happy Lent. Let's continue this journey together, and happy St. Patrick's Day. We didn't focus on St. Patrick today, but I'll be saying some words about him tonight in my live broadcast. Join me live at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, praying for America. And I'm going to say some things about this great saint, who is, of course, special to the Irish, but special to the whole world, too. It's an observance that is made worldwide. We'll talk to you later. Have a great day. We're praying for you always. God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.